Bibles, if you would, tonight, turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. We are working our way through the life of David, one of the only man in the Bible that says that David was a man after God's own heart. If David was a man after God's own heart, I want to know, learn something about David, don't you? Learn something about him. And we have learned much about him already. By the grace of God, we'll continue to learn something about him. 1 Samuel chapter 18 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Tonight, we're going to talk about how to be a real friend. How to be a real friend. Of course, right after David's triumph over Goliath, when you do something good, something great, you get some friends. You win the lottery. I think winning the lottery would be a curse instead of a blessing. And if you read some reports about folks who actually won the lottery. Freudian slip, I meant, the robbery, not the lottery. Because it just helps all the education in the world, right? That's why we do that. It's for the education so all the boys and girls and all the public schools can just learn a whole lot better. That's why we do that. We understand that right well. But that's not the topic tonight. Though that would be a good topic, and someday I may do preach on gambling. That's not what we're talking about tonight. But when you are successful in any area in life, it will not be long before you will find people who like you for one reason or another. Some like you because you're successful. Some people like you because they're lonely. Some people like you because maybe you're likable. But in this case, we have these two people named Jonathan and David, two different worlds. Here you come, this man, this young man, who's basically a sheep herder. His father, Jesse, and there's, of course, many of their sons were soldiers, but as we talked about, David was keeping the sheep, taking care of animals. It was night and day, a great responsibility, the family responsibility, maybe gone back for years and years and years, generations. And here you have Jonathan, the son of a king. So a sheep herder and a prince. Two different worlds. One's sleeping out there most of the time underneath the stars. One sleeping in a castle. One's home is very rough. One is the best that they can have there in Jerusalem. What type of friendship could they have? What type of friendship does these two people from two different worlds form? Well, in fact, it was a very close friendship. One of the closest friendships you'll find through the Bible. You see many friendships throughout the scriptures. Elijah, Elisha, Paul, Timothy, Paul, Barnabas. But probably one of the greatest friendships you'll find, the scriptures are found, is found here in 1 Samuel chapter 18. So the reality of life is you may have lots of friends on social media. You may have hundreds and thousands. But how many people could you call if you were broke down on 75 tonight? About 9 o'clock. Well, yeah. Yes, I'll be there, brother. I will come. I will be there. Amen. Got that going. Amen. I will be there. Someone said, a friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. Lawrence Peter says, you can tell a real friend. When you made a fool of yourself, he doesn't make you feel like you've done a permanent job. I read about this illustration that I didn't know about. Jesse Owens, of course, was a black man, and he competed in 1936 in the Olympics in Berlin in front of Adolf Hitler. That would have been awkward, wouldn't it? That would have been awkward. He knew another man, a German, whose name was Lutz Long, and they both could do the long jump just about 26 feet. But as it records in history, Jesse Owens won one of his four Olympic trophies there, medals. And the first person to congratulate him was this German, Lutz Long, in the view of Adolf Hitler. And years later, Jesse Owens said, you can melt all the medals and cups I've had, and they wouldn't be a plating on the 24-karat friendship I felt for Lutz Long. That's how much he cherished his friendship. So tonight we're going to look at some valuable characteristics of friendship. You're there in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Let's look in verse 1. It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even his sword and to his bow and his girdle. Father, I pray, God, that you would come tonight, that you'd be part of the service. We're thankful that the word says that where two or three are gathered, there are you in the midst. And I pray that you be with us, Lord. Your presence, your spirit would be with us, that you'd be pleased, Lord, with us gathering together, Lord, singing these hymns, worshiping in you, Lord, in spirit and truth. I pray you bless this message. God, I pray you'd help us not just to hear, but to obey. May we truly be friends. May we truly understand the reality and be real friends to those. For you, Lord Jesus, was a friend of sinners. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the first things we see, of course, tonight is Jonathan's generosity. A true friend is someone who is generous. Characteristic of a true friend is, first of all, a friend is generous. What did he give? Well, Jonathan gave of his resources. A friend is known as someone who's willing to give. A friend is known as someone who's willing to give. It says here in verse 4 that Jonathan stripped himself of his robe and that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even his sword and his bow and to his girdle. Jonathan didn't go say, well, let me go find some leftover old rusty armor. Let me go find something out there in the armory that, you know, it's been sitting there for days and days. Or let's go let me see if I can find some leftovers. Let's go down to the... let's go down there and find something for you. You know, we'll find something for you, you know. No, he said, I tell you what, let me give you mine. I'll give you, from taking your shepherd's staff, let me give you a prince's sword. Let me give you not only a prince's sword, let me give you a prince's armor. Let me give you a prince's robe, where if you just had a shepherd's boy robe. Let me give you the best that I have. A characteristics of a friend is being a great giver. And isn't that what God did for us? God provided ravens to feed Elijah. God gave manna to feed Israel. God gave Joseph favor and sight of the keeper of the prison. God provided Ruth, the kinsman redeemer, like Boaz, as her husband. What a friend we have in Jesus. I love that song. If you sing in the nursing homes, you go around singing nursing homes, one of the songs that they love is In the Garden, Amazing Grace, and What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace would pause upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We have no greater friend than Jesus Christ. He's the greatest friend that mankind could ever know. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never forget you. He won't tire of you. He won't give up on you. He won't say, I love you one day and leave you the next day. He is the best friends, you'll ever have in your life. If you stick close to anyone in this world, stick close to Jesus. Friends will fail you. Family will forsake you. I cannot take the time to tell you of the hours and hours I've spent behind a desk listening to families and friends who've been forsaken over some bad decision, over some silliness, over some craziness, money or love or a combination of both. But Jesus has never forsaken any of us. Once you are in a relationship with Christ Himself, you can never lose that relationship. Thank God for the relationship we have in him. We see that Jonathan gave his resources. But not only that, he gave his time. It says there, if you look over in chapter 19 and verse 1. Look over one chapter, chapter 19 and verse 1. Jonathan gave his resources, but Jonathan gave his time. 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to his servants, and they should kill David. But Jonathan Saul's son delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself unto the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out, and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee. And what I see, that will I tell thee. One of the greatest resources you can give to another person is your time. Time is the stuff that life is made out of. All of us only have a certain amount of time. And the reality is, none of us in this room know how long we're going to live. You say, man, I'm gonna work out every day. I'm going to take vitamins and everything. I'm gonna get a part of a program. I've heard all of that, and they die within a year. I told you about that person who was a great opera singer. And he was going hunting with a buddy, fell down the steps. I mean, he was going to be the next Pavarotti. He fell. He didn't tie his shoes. He fell down the steps at a hunting buddy's lodge and died. None of us knows how long we have in this life. If you want to give somebody something, spend time with them. Parents, let me tell you something. The greatest thing we can do for our kids is not buy them things, but spend time with them. Too many parents think, if I just buy my kid this, if I just buy my kid that, and then, you know, the kids want something. Mommy, 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 daddy, 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 gimme, 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 gimme. I'll just pacify them, and I'll give them this. That thing you give them, they won't remember tomorrow what you gave them. They'll forget the next week what you just gave them. But what they won't forget when they're in a nursing home someday is that time you spent with them. Men, you don't have to work 80 hours a week. Did you hear me? Man, you don't have to work 70 hours a week sometimes. Better to work less, have less, spend time with your kids. Because 50, 60 years ago, it won't matter so much what you have. But it will matter the time you've spent with them. That will matter. I would give almost everything I have except for my own family to spend more time with my mom. She died at 55 years old. I wish I had more time with her. But I don't have time. And may not have the time. You'd like the time, like to have. But the time that you have, invest and spend time with them. That is an investment worth all the money in the world. How much time do we spend? Mommy got a little tired of sitting down every night with her little sweet daughter and said, I tell you what, I'm going to record my stories on my iPhone. And then when it's bedtime, I'm just going to press a button and I'm just going to record it for, you know, so I don't have to spend every moment with them every night. And so she plays the little story there with her daughter, and it goes off, and all of a sudden, they see the daughter coming out and coming with, see, and being with her instead of being there with the story. And she says, daughter, what's wrong? Why don't you listen to the story? And she said, Mom, the iPhone doesn't have a lap. iPhones can do a lot, but they can't be you. There's not an app for that. Not yet. Maybe someday. But folks, there's nothing more valuable can do than spend time with somebody. Jesus was called a friend of sinners, a friend of publicans and sinners. These folks, the religious folks of those days, they hated the fact that Jesus spent time with these publicans and sinners. But Jesus didn't become friends to the tax collector and sinners to be like them, but to deliver them from their sins. The goal of being a friend of sinners is to not get down on their level and be sinners, but to love them and show them there's a better way. He gave of his time. He gave of his resources. But not only that, we see that Jonathan gave of his influence. Look there at verse 4. It says, then Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been toward thee very good. Verse 5, For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and did rejoice. Wherefore, when thou sin against the innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swears, The Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. So what did Jonathan do? He spoke up for him. He said, Dad, don't you remember what David did? Don't you remember that David was out there when everybody else was fleeing from this giant? You were in your tent. I'm sure he didn't say that, but I'm sure he thought it. Yeah, this wicked Philistine was cursing our God, laughing at us, calling us out. And here it is, David, the shepherd boy who didn't even take your armor, but went out there with 5 stones, no sword, no armor, nothing. But by faith in God, went there, slew the giant. He did that for you. He did that for all Israel. Jonathan used his influence to help others. Do you use your influence to help others? You have an influence. Your life is an arrow pointing people towards God, or your life is an arrow pointing people away from God. Every day you get up, the decisions you make, the attitude you have in the restaurant, in the store, in your home, you are an influence. What type of influence are you being? The greatest influence, I said this morning, that you can do for another person is to pray for them. Spend time praying for them. Tennyson once wrote, More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. The greatest gift you can do to influence another person is to pray for them, to encourage them, to help them, to lift them up in prayer. As we see Jonathan's generosity. But not only that, this evening we see Jonathan's consistency. Shakespeare said, Consistency, thou art a jewel. And isn't that true? There's nothing like having a friend that's your friend all your life. Always that one thing to have a friend that's a friend maybe in elementary school or in middle school or in high school. But how many friends have you had all your life? Though you may have hundreds and maybe thousands of friends on social media, really in this life, you probably only have 5 to 10, maybe at the very most, 20 people that you could say are really, really your friends. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. Most of the times friends love you when things are good. But when things aren't so good, you can't find a friend. Man, when you're making money and all things are going well, you just bought a new car. You just moved into a new house. Man, I want to be your friend. You just lost your job. You just lost your house. You just lost everything. I don't want to know who you are. That's the truth. He was a friend in good circumstances. There was a time in David, well, man, he was welcome in Jonathan's home. He just slew the giant. Here comes David, young man, handsome man, musically talented. Jonathan could have reacted in a very wrong way. Actually, Jonathan could have been very jealous. Here's the giant slayer. He's coming into my home. He's playing an instrument for my dad. But instead of being jealous of him, he was grateful for him. And that's what we're supposed to be as a friend. When a new friend gets a new car, we should rejoice with them. When your pastor gets a new motorcycle, you should rejoice with him. I didn't get a new motorcycle. Maybe someday. The Bible says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Man, it's a terrible thing when we get jealous over the good things that are going on in people's life. That's just plain. Folks, that's what the world does. That type of attitude should not be found in North Gainesville Baptist Church. It should not be in the house of God. We should love one another, encourage one another, help one another, and be for with one another. When good things are happening, we ought to be the first person to say, congratulations, praise God, I'm happy for you. And when you lose everything, when you're down in the gutter, water, when you're down there hurting, you lost your car, you lost your house because you spent too much money. Because everybody congratulated you. You just kept buying more. We ought to be the first person to say, brother, let me take you down to Pomodoro's. Instead of saying, do you know what that joker did? He spent all his money on motorcycles. But isn't that just like us? When things are going well, we like to say good things about people. But when things are going bad, we like to talk about them behind their back. That's how we are most of the time. That's the sad truth and reality. One of the more problems we have in our life is we struggle with gossip. We struggle with jealousy. Thank God Jonathan and David did not have that type of relationship. I think of Ricky Henderson. He was getting ready to win the title for stolen bases. He was going to do it in 12 seasons, and Lou Brock was going to do it in 19, had done it in 19 seasons. The day that he was getting ready to break the record, Lou Brock called him and said, congratulations, I want to be there for you. And he was. Instead of speaking bad about him, he encouraged him and wanted to help him. A friend is a friend in good circumstances, and a friend is a friend in bad circumstances. Look at verse 20, chapter 20, verse 1. Look at chapter 20 and verse 1. And David fled from Naioth and Ramoth, chapter 20, verse 1, and came and said to Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is the sin before thy father that he seek my life? And he said unto him, God forbid thou should not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but he will show it to me. Why should my father hide this from me? Is it not so? What was he saying? David fled. He wanted to know, what have I done? What have I done so wrong? What had David done wrong? He hadn't done anything wrong. He simply came on the scene. He simply did God's will. And it had been natural again for Jonathan to be jealous of him, but he wasn't. He was trying to help him. Instead of Jonathan staying out of the conflict, out of this conflict, which he could have said, he could have said, well, I'm just going to leave this between, but I'm just going to leave this situation between the king and David. I'm staying out of it because I might get in trouble. I might get hurt. Instead of doing that, he agreed to help him. It's interesting. David had already been told he's going to be the next king. Naturally, Jonathan would have been king. Jonathan would have been king. He could have been his adversary, but instead of being his adversary, he was a friend. A true friend does not agree to do anything that is wrong or evil in that friendship. A true friend is willing to suffer any inconvenience for the sake of their friend. A true friend will do whatever is necessary in order to keep their promises to their friend. That's what a true friend does. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Last week I read of Jackie Robinson. He was the first black man to break, one of the first black men to break in the color barrier in baseball. When he went out to bat for the first time there in Yankee Stadium, they booed him. Or was it the Brooklyn Dodgers? I forget. But moments later, a teammate by the name of Pee Wee Reese walked over to him and put his arm around him. Later, Robinson said, that arm around my shoulder saved my career. Most people would have said, you know, I don't want to be identified with that man. I might get booed too. But instead of worrying about how people would perceive him, he did the right thing. Folks, we need to do the right thing. Forget about how people perceive it. Is it right? And if it's right, let's do it. Your friendship to somebody tonight might be the only thing that's keeping them from quitting in life. Your friendship, that phone call that you make, that text, that card, that willingness to take somebody out to eat, to show them that you care, it matters. Little things that you do for other people that you think nobody else sees, nobody else knows, it matters. Man, I was a freshman in college, and every once in a while, man, I'm from South Carolina. Yeah, we have season, but I was up there in the frozen tundra. I was dying up there. A southerner doesn't like snow all year long. I'm going to just tell you that. Southern just like snow. I like a little snow, a little fire, but not all year long. It started snowing in October, and it quit snowing to May. That's a lot of snow for a guy from South Carolina. A lot of snow. I got lonely. It got cold. It wasn't the cold. It was that wind. That wind cuts like a knife. I was getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. What is 6 o'clock in the morning? I didn't even know 6 o'clock in the morning exists. But I had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go have devotions at 7 o'clock. In the 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm supposed to be reading my Bible and praying. I don't even know I'm alive at 7 o'clock. Much less read my Bible and praying. This is my freshman year in college. Every now and then I get a little note. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. My classmate, my friend, folks from back home, I'm praying for you. Those little notes kept me in school. They kept me in school. I wanted to quit. I want to come home and get warm. I want to go home and say, I'm not used to this ironing. I'm not used to this getting up. I'm not used to this working two jobs and taking 16 hours of school and dying up here in the frozen tundra. I'm not used to that. Your friendship might be the only thing that's keeping somebody from quitting. We see Jonathan's generosity, Jonathan's consistency, but Jonathan's support. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 23. Look over a couple chapters. 1 Samuel chapter 23. Jonathan's generosity, Jonathan's consistency, but Jonathan's support. Look at verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 17. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. Thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next to thee, that also Saul, my father, knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. It's one thing to say encouraging words. It's a whole different thing to do encouraging things. It's one thing to say something, but it's another thing altogether to do something. Remember Jesus in the story of the Good Samaritan? Here was this man who'd come down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Remember that? And thieves fell upon him. Got all beat up, got robbed, and left, it says, left half dead. They're on side of the road. Here comes a certain priest and looks at him, walks right by. A certain Levite comes by and walks right by. Then comes a Samaritan, a person who naturally, culturally hates the Jew. Samaritans and Jews hated one another. A deep hatred. Samaritan sees him, puts him on his horse, takes him to an inn, heals his, puts oil and wine on his wounds, takes care of him, says to the innkeeper, whatever else it costs to take care of him, when he comes back, I will take care of him. The religious man, the Levite, the religious man, the priest didn't do anything for him. It was a man who naturally would hate him who helped him the most. Wow. What does James 2:15 say? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled. I see you out there. You're hurting. You have no food. Okay, I tell you what. Be warmed and be filled. Notwithstanding, give him not those things which are needed to the body. What doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. It's easy to say to somebody, oh, I hope you're okay. Oh, I hope everything's all right. Oh, I hope everything's fine to you. It's another thing to actually take out your wallet and give something to them. There's a difference between words and works. Jonathan chose to reach out to him. It says there in verse 15, 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 15, and David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David unto the wood. Way too often, people want to minister to others. But when we look for them to ask for help, there's sometimes it's easy to come up with an excuse. If we want If we see a genuine need out of a genuine heart of love, we should seek to meet that need. Jesus knew there was a need in Samaria. And he says to his disciples, even though he didn't know, he wouldn't tell them all the details, we must go through Samaria. Samaria would not be the best way to go, not the easiest way to go. But he knew there was a woman at a well that needed his help. And he was willing to take the out of the way road to get there. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's how we need to be. If we see a genuine need, a genuine need. Now, sometimes we see needs around us that honestly aren't genuine. But when we see that need is genuine, do we go out of our way to meet that need and use the resources God has given us to meet those needs? He reached out to him and he lifted him up. It says he strengthened his hand. Jonathan did more than console him. He strengthened him spiritually. A true friend will point to someone, will point someone closer to Jesus and not away from him. The great commentator John Gill said about this passage, Jonathan has strengthened his hand in God and his heart too. His hand of faith to lay hold on God and as his covenant God and to lean and rely upon him. He strengthened him in his power and in his providence and in his promise to him. Wow. What a friend Jonathan was. Before the two parted, the Bible tells us here in chapter 23, verse 18, they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. This will be the last time this is recorded in the scripture. Jonathan and David will be together. You see, friends, if we get a blessing by simply giving a person a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, how much better would it be? How much greater a blessing can we be for others if we truly are a friend to them? How much greater would it be? We've seen tonight Jonathan's generosity, Jonathan's consistency, and Jonathan's support. What a great friendship. What a model friendship that each of us, by the grace of God, should model in our lives. I don't know if you saw it, but I watched much of the Amy Coney Barrett hearings as much as I could. Went home even after work and watched some of it. And I was astounded by her and how she reacted to even people who hated her. Just her poise, just her attitude, even when she was asked some very difficult questions that I have probably, even as a preacher, would have been a hard time to respond to with a straight face. And I hope by the grace of God she gets appointed as a judge and elected as a judge by the Senate. I hope so. But I don't know if you watched later on. I guess there was a part of that later on where they were allowed to have four people that were for her and four people that were against her. And I saw this later. There was a student of hers by the name of Laura Wolk. And Laura Wolk was a student, a freshman at I was going to say Bible college. It was Notre Dame, actually. Not quite a Bible college. Or one that we would go to. But she had a student by the name of Laura Wolk, and Laura Wolk had a disability. She was totally blind. And she went as a freshman, and Amy Coney Barrett was her teacher. And when she came to the university, she had promises by the university that she would have the technology she needed to help her as a blind person be able to keep up in her classes. But that wasn't provided for her, or was promises made that was never met. At the same time as those promises and technology was being basically broken down and she couldn't do anything about it, her own personal computer broke down. And she went to Mrs. Barrett, or Dr. Barrett probably, and said to her teacher, I need help. And she expected, like many other teachers, basically to say to Laura, you know what? You got to go to the administration. You got to go through this situation. You got to fill out this form. She expected it. But it said, this blind lady said, this is what she said. She said, she leaned forward and looked at me. That was strange because this is a blind lady. She said she leaned forward. Maybe she felt it. Some things can be felt more than actually sensed. It can be felt. She said she leaned forward and looked at me and said, she said, Laura, your problems are no longer your problems. They're my problems. Wow. Your problems that you have are no longer your problems. They're my problems. Dear friend, your problems that you have, if you give them to God, are no longer your problems. They're God's problems. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. You have no friend, better friend in this world than God Himself. He is ever near. He is always available. 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. There's no greater friend than Jesus. Father, we thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord. Sometimes in our pride, sometimes in our arrogance, Lord, we don't go to you. We seek other helpers. We seek other false friends. And they do nothing but depress us, destroy us, and ultimately hurt us. No greater friend than God. God of all the universe who sent his own son to die for our sins. Thank you, God, for all you've done for us. The blessings, the care, the love, the mercy, the grace. It's past words. It's past what we can even describe as human beings, but we're thankful for it. And Lord, we thank you for the friends on this earth that you give us along the way to help us and to encourage us. Help us, Lord, to be better friends. Help us to love even the unlovable. Help us to love when others don't love us back. Help us to love when we've been hurt by giving our love. Help us to still love, knowing that you love unconditionally so many because you gave your very love, your very life, so that we can be saved. Pray, God, that you bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.